afternoon, everybody. This is the Reverend Blake Ruby from San Antonio. I hope you are all doing good. It's a beautiful Saturday here in San Antonio, and it's been a good week. Another week not having to work because I'm retired ever since the 10th of March. And I'm grateful for that buyout offer, which was offered by the government. I took it and I retired early. And it is a cool thing to be retired, not having to get up at a certain time in the morning. That is probably the most huge difference. And also not having to go to bed at a certain time so you can get your 8 hours sleep. I can sleep into 8, 9 o'clock if I want to. It's great. Oh, I got to tell you, let me begin with last weekend, what happened, something that happened. And it goes like this. I'm a perfectionist, kind of. I like to do the best I can. I work hard at what I do. And whether it's singing or reading out loud, those are two main things that I practice. Being someone who has my own radio show, those are the two things that I do to improve myself, to be able to speak publicly, you know, on my radio show. So I had a solo last week at church. So let me paint the situation for you. If you can imagine this, envision this. There at church, there's about 200 people. And we sing the first song, and the second song is my song. So I go up there, as I've done many times before, got the microphone in my hand, and music begins. I'm looking around. I say a few words about praise, because it's about praise and worship. And I sing. And it turned out to be perfect. It was beautiful, I think. I don't recall making any mistakes. Occasionally, there might be a few minor little glitches. But then we usually stop the proceedings. We have the offering, and then we also have the scripture reading. Well, I did the scripture reading, and I had read it a few times before. I had the microphone in my right hand. And I got down about halfway, and there was a word called vineyard. It was talking about Jesus and the fig tree and cutting down the fig tree. Luke 13, verses 1 through 9, to be exact. And I guess I was a little bit tired. And if you ever tripped on a word, well, it doesn't happen too often because I usually do it perfectly, you know, because I practice hard. But I tripped on this word, and it was very embarrassing, actually. It was almost like, for a second, my brain short-circuited or malfunctioned. And it took me a while to figure it out. And I don't know if anyone else has had this problem before. I've heard all the talk about, and I know that I should realize that no one's perfect, that we're all human, you know. The only one who is perfect is God, the Creator, or the Mother and Father God. And then, after a few days, and I was beating myself up about it, you know, I just sung this song beautifully, perfectly. And so I experienced a high and way down the low. I was so embarrassed when I took my seat, you know. I didn't feel like saying much else, and I felt like this leaving, you know, because you can imagine 200 people there. They all saw it. And I was thinking, well, what's wrong with me? Then I realized, hey, just it was yesterday, all those days in between. And I finally realized that had happened before to me when I was reading an award citation at work. And I think I have identified what actually happened, although I will deal with it, and if it happens again, I'll have to deal with it. It's because I wear some dentures. My mouth is not perfectly aligned, so to speak. I've got a denture on my left side of my mouth that fills in a space for three teeth, and one on the lower right-hand side, which fills in the space for two T's. Or is it just one tooth? I forget. So for those of you that have that same problem, if you will, when you get older, I'm 70, almost going on 71 years, you lose teeth. It's not like, hey, I didn't used to brush my teeth, but it's a pretty normal thing that goes on in our lives. You lose teeth when you get older, period. And I still feel a little bit self-conscious about it. And I know tomorrow when I go to church, I will experience that same kind of feeling again, if you will, with the people that are around me. And it's not what you would call a very supportive environment, you know, like Toastmasters is. But nevertheless, everyone is supposed to be there praising and worshiping and focusing on worshiping God and not concentrating on our mistakes. Yet we do, you know. We kind of have a bar, and we keep that bar. And if you sink beneath the bar, then you're kind of ostracized, you know. It's understandable, but I wish it weren't that way. I didn't know at the time that, hey, this has happened before. Also, I identified something I'd like to explain to you, share with you, and that is whenever you hold a microphone in one hand or the other, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again, I am an accomplished singer. I've been singing for very diligently, shall I say, ever since 2010. So 15 years involved with karaoke. I mean, big time. I've learned over 100 songs. I've said this before in previous shows. I am a karaoke king. I am. I have no qualms about going up and doing karaoke on all the cruise ships. I've done over 40 cruises, and I always go and I sing. I go to karaoke and I put my time in, you know? And it's a slow process to realize this over the years, especially when you get older and they say one day closer to death, one day shorter of breath, one day closer to death, you know, that Pink Floyd song is true. And I sing my songs very well. I'll give myself a big pat in the back. I think I am a beautiful singer. And sometimes I feel like I sing like an angel. But I make the occasional mistake. I remember I used to go sing for the Wounded Warriors. For 6 years, I did that once a month. I would take my equipment, set up what I had in the main area there, the living room area of the Warrior Family Support Center on Fort Sam Houston. And they would usually have a lunch at that time. And the Wounded Warriors coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq and other countries around the world. This was 2013, don't forget. For 6 years, I did that. Wounded Warriors walking around, missing limbs or other injuries that weren't so self-evident, you know. And I had a great time. Always did. I sang for an hour and a half, usually. And I built up a repertoire of songs, about 100-plus songs, all dealing with God, nature, love. And you heard me sing a cappella songs. I love that, singing a cappella. So I am an accomplished singer. And I've noticed that when you sing, and like I mentioned, when you get older, you notice the subtle things more clearly, you know, little things, little mistakes, kind of errors in breathing, if you will. And that was what I also experienced last Sunday, besides my teeth kind of getting in my way. And that is a reality. And I hope you don't mind me explaining this facet of my life to you. But also, with a microphone in either the right or left hand. Now, this is just my opinion. You can take it or not, believe it or not. You can believe it or not. It's my opinion. It inhibits the breathing. Now, you have probably seen musical bands, singers, men and women playing the guitar, singing into a microphone on the stand. And it's, in my opinion, the best way to do it because you are hands-free. And when you're hands-free singing, you can gesture and use your full expansion of the lungs, if you know what I mean. With a microphone in one hand or the other, don't be fooled. I know people are young, they can do it. I'll see it on TV tonight, tomorrow, the next week, whatever. People can sing perfectly well, it seems. But can they keep that up for the long run? Can they keep it up when they get into their 70s and 80s? Now, I've noticed, I mean, I've done a lot of research. I can't be fooled. I don't like being fooled. And I see things, and I know other people see things. Some of these famous singers, take, for example, Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin. He used to hold the microphone with his left hand a lot. Now, what does he do? He sings with a microphone on the stand. And a lot more singers, well-known singers, are gravitating, if you will, towards that. And another option, which is a viable option, and I see this on the cruise ship all the time, or the hands-free wireless microphones that go around the ear that are worn on the head, especially if you're going to be dancing, you don't have time to hold the microphone, right? But they sing very beautifully. I've noticed they are some of the best singers I've ever seen, those singers and dancers on cruise ships. And again, you can believe what you want to believe, and you can see, you know, going into future contradictions to what I'm saying. But, and you might have someone like Beyonce, who is a beautiful singer, and she holds a microphone with just her right hand. She uses it on a stand, mic on a stand. Also, she uses a mic on a stand also. But when you get older, you notice these things more. Take it from me. I have. And now I'm a work in progress like most people are. I change. I still like holding. I mean, there's a cool feeling about holding a mic with one hand or the other. And usually the people, I won't say usually, but there's a lot of people who believe that the correct way to do it is to shift it from one hand to the other while they're singing. I used to sing one song since I know so many songs. With one hand and then shift it to the other hand for the next song, back to the other hand for the next song. But someone like Shania Twain, watch her, if you want to, on a music video. She is constantly changing the microphone from one hand to the other every 15 seconds or so. I'm going to take a drink. I tell you this because this is who I am. This is my life. This is what I think about during my days, you know. I practice singing today, this morning. I practice singing for about 35, 40 minutes. And I know my songs. I love my music. And I need to practice it. And I don't. One thing that I've been working on recently that I like doing is singing to songs that aren't karaoke songs, just regular songs, you know, with the band, the original band, for two reasons. First of all, you get a better quality of music. You don't get the, like with the karaoke music, you get different versions. Sometimes you've got bands that over there in the Philippines or in some other countries around the world, they make these karaoke songs, you know, and they've got, and they're great musicians and they're fantastic vocalists, but I prefer the real song. Like, say, for example, Jim Croce, maybe Time in a Bottle or I've Got a Name. I prefer singing along with Jim, you know. Now, the thing is, I wouldn't recommend it unless you also have a microphone, you know, because the microphone kind of enhances the voice and prevents straining the voice as well. Plus, I mean, their voices can be powerful. Unless you have your own microphone, you really can't sing along with them without, you know, it kind of hurting your brain, if you know what I mean. But if you have your own microphone on a stand, you can sing along with them. And it's cool. It's synchronicity, singing along in perfect synchronicity and harmony with that person. There's something to it. It's a skill, you know. It's not to be poo-pooed. Oh, that's not so hard. Try it yourself if you don't think I'm right. And it is actually more exciting because I'm also kind of like tapping into the mind, although I don't believe in time travel, you know, going back in time when they made that video. But I get to experience what that person, a little bit about that person, their personality. And if they like being mimicked or copied, excuse me, I'm going to take another drink. We're not. And it's almost like complimenting each other, if you will, while singing. It's pretty cool. I like it. For example, I sang along with Riders in the Storm by The Doors. And here I am singing all the words of the song, word for word, in synchronicity with Jim Morrison, who is long dead. And, you know, that's just the way it is. It's no big deal. I mean, you can say that, you know, there might be some kind of taboo associated with that. I don't look at it that way. I sing old Beatles songs, you know, when John and George were still alive. And I'm not trying to time travel or do something that would interrupt the space-time continuum, but I'm just saying that it's fun. And it's not like, you know, they object to what I'm doing, just that it might appear that way, but it's not really so. In some of these instances, you really can't alter the space-time continuum, unless perhaps you try to, but I'm not trying to. I just want to sing along because it's enjoyable, you know. I'm going to take another drink. So you see, I spend a lot of time singing and practicing singing. I am an accomplished singer. And I'll probably have a lot more souls at church. As far as reading the scriptures, well, I don't mind doing that again. I like second chances, you know, and to tell you the truth, I have read the scriptures before, and I've done a perfect job. But the last time I did it before, I didn't have a microphone in my hand. So I noticed these things, you know. Going back to what I was saying, you know, you can watch Billie Eilish, you can watch Beyonce, whoever on television on Austin City Limits, or whoever with that microphone in their right hand or their left hand, and they can do what they want to do. They're free, they're young. You know, they're not 70 years old like me. I just noticed that for myself, it inhibits my breathing. I can't take deep breaths. I can't expand my lungs like I can when I've got both my hands free. You know, I've learned that. And in our society today, in our civilization, we need to point out things like that to each other and say, look, there's a better way. We shouldn't do something that way because that's what happens. This is a better way of doing it. And that way we make the world a better place. Now you might disagree with me and you're entitled to your opinion, but that's what I observe. I have observed. And as I mentioned, I spend a lot of time doing what I do, singing. Maybe sometimes an hour a day. How about you? You don't practice singing that much, I think, unless you're in a band. But take, for example, I was watching the Steve Miller Band in concert the other day, and they are probably the quintessential, ultimate touring band who have done thousands of concerts. And Steve Miller, he's up there, he plays guitar, he's singing into a microphone on the stand. And his lead vocalist also has a microphone on the stand, although he has a solo and he holds it in one hand or the other. Most people are right hand dominant. In other words, they hold the mic more in the right hand than the left hand. Very few people are left hand dominant. Tony Bennett was left hand dominant. Celine Dion, is left hand dominant. She holds the mic in the left hand, although she uses a mic on a stand too. Beware of some kind of maladies or infirmities or illnesses that might be associated with when you do it and you're singing for a couple of 3 hours at a time, and year after year, that kind of stuff can catch up on you. And I've noticed that, like I said, with Robert Plant. And some other artists, I can't remember them off the top of my head, but I have observed it with my own two eyes, I'll tell you the truth, that these people who used to, and Shania Twain is one of them, she's using the mic on a stand more now. What does that tell you, right? She was, I think, the master at moving the mic from one hand to the other while singing. And now she sings more on a mic stand because after years and after giving maybe hundreds of concerts, that stuff catches up to you. Believe me, Frankie Beverly used to sing with the mic in his right hand, and he hardly ever shifted it to his left hand. Well, he died at 76 years old. I'm not saying that that contributed to his death, but it is possible. You have to consider the possibilities in situations, right? Oh, they let the dog out again. He's out there barking his head off in the backyard. I told them to bring the dog in. The last two times, they let him out. Oh, well, I'm going to have to talk with my wife about that. So I'm going to close the window here. Give me a few seconds, would you please? Okay, I'm back. So I close the window. I like to keep fresh air in the room, but, coming in through the window. But our air conditioning works well, and that's what I had to do last week. Back to what I was saying. So I've got this down to a science, and it really is rocket science. And that's what's going on in my life. And after church last Sunday, we went out, came home. It's been great. I was having to work. You should try it. I know some people, I feel sorry for the people that have to work. I see them, at different places we go to, in restaurants and stores. And I think to myself, wow, I'm glad I don't have to work anymore. I worked, let me see, I've been paying into Social Security since 1973, so 52 years. And I reached the age of 70 years, 7 months, and one day before I finally stopped working. Now, I hope I don't have to work anymore. You hear about some people that, not because they want to, because they have to go back to work and start working another job. I'm already getting four checks, four pensions. So I won't tell you how much I'm making, but I think I will be able to live comfortably from what I will be earning. My wife, she earns her money, although I'm not really sure all that she's paying for it this time. I know she's been paying a lot of debt off. So I pay all the bills in the house. The mortgage, which is pretty good. I mean, we could use a different house, a bigger house. I've mentioned this on previous shows. It's a very adequate, comfortable, kind of cozy house, although it's really too small for six people, myself, my wife, stepdaughter, and three grandchildren, and three dogs and two cats. We really need a bigger house, and I almost bought another one. I can't remember if I mentioned it. I probably did on my radio show back when we were on track to buying that house. It was a $356,000 house just around the corner from here, maybe 5-10 minutes away. I paid $142,000 for this one back in 2010. Right now, it's worth about $200,000. My mortgage is about $760 a month. And that's pretty good, right? Yeah, I don't think I'll pay it off. Well, let me see. Supposedly, I would pay it off around when I'm in my 80s. I've got about another 20 years or so. Yeah, 20 years. maybe 90 at 90. I probably will have sold it by then and make some of that equity, you know, that profit built up in it. So we really do need a bigger house. And my granddaughter and I, we haven't always seen eye to eye or agreed with each other. And that's the same with my stepdaughter. My grandson, now he's pretty cool. He works for Amazon overnight. And he's one of the coolest young men I think I've ever known. He's very intelligent, and he is so just a really nice young man. My stepdaughter, she's 55, and she doesn't work. She hasn't had a regular job. She works the voting stations, the early voting twice a year, 2 weeks each time. And my granddaughter, India, she's 24, I think. She was going to college, and she dropped out. And she hasn't been working for a couple of years, at least, I think. And then my granddaughter, Malia, she's 15. She's in the 10th grade. But we've got something going on with her that is very interesting, because she is an athlete. And she is possibly the fastest 10th grader in San Antonio, maybe in Texas, maybe in the nation. I don't know. Her 100-meter time is 11.59. And I did a little research today. Like, the fastest woman in the world is Sha'Carri Richardson, right? She's got a 10.65 100-meter time. The world record is 10.49 by Flo-Jo back in the 88 Olympics. So Sha'Carri, she did 10.65 in the Olympics in Paris. When she was in high school, she got down close to 11. She was like 11.10 seconds, I think. So she might have been a senior too. The high school record by a senior female is 10.89. Now, my granddaughter is 11.59, and she's only a sophomore. So we could possibly have a budding superstar in her hands, you know. No one's beaten her at the 100 meter here in these events she's been going to. She went to one today up in Austin. And so if she stays healthy, and I pray to God that if it's God's will that she will stay healthy, she will continue to improve. I can't help but believe otherwise. When she becomes a junior and a senior, she could get down close to 11. If she gets right around 11, then she's going to be getting all this attention from recruiters and scouts, and she'll have no problem getting a scholarship. And then maybe she might even make the Olympic team and go to the Olympics, you know. She's got a very competitive spirit. She's an extreme competitor. She's got that fire burning in her. I can tell because she walks around here sometimes and she's screaming the top of her lungs and swearing and slamming doors and banging on the walls. And I've gotten used to it. I mean, I had them evicted one time back in 2013. Yes, it's true. I had them evicted. That was one of the problems, as well as my stepdaughter told me she was going to knock my ass out. Well, they went to live with my wife's sister. And that didn't work out for a year. Not surprisingly, they got on each other's nerves. And then they moved in with my wife's niece, Darian, who passed away a few years ago. God bless her soul, please. She was a good woman. Didn't know her too well, but they lived in a one-bedroom apartment, six people. A three-bedroom house is, you know, kind of kosher. It's understandable. It's okay. It's an okay thing to do, but in a one-bedroom apartment, I don't think so. So then they came back here, and the plan was we were going to take them down to a place downtown in what they call the Haven for Hope, where they rehabilitate people that need to get back into the workforce, and they shelter the homeless, and they give them food, they provide, they help in any way possible, get people back on their feet, you know. So that was the plan. And then they came and they were going to spend a night or two with us before they went down there. And it was kind of good to have them back after almost 2 years. And so I said, you know what, y'all can stay. So they've been staying ever since, and it's been now 10 years. And we've had our differences time and time. Every once in a while, I'm going to take a drink. But now I've become a little bit more patient since I don't have to work. I've got to admit, my job working for the government was stressing me out, because when you have that hierarchy that is in charge, you know, and occasionally they might not be happy about something and they'll let it out on you, you know, and you got to deal with people's attitudes. That's just the way it is. I realize that, you know, and maybe it's good every once in a while getting a little bit of your getting chewed out. I think we all need maybe to be held in check, you know, especially if we do make mistakes. Sometimes we don't know that we're making mistakes, and so it's good to know when we are. But nevertheless, it's a hard pill to swallow, if you know what I mean, being chewed out by your superior. And they can be rather brusque and not too supportive at times, although the man who is my raider, senior raider, has been good to me, and he is a good man, and he's got a very difficult job, and he works very hard. So it's kind of like, if he's stressed out then and you did something wrong, he's going to let you know, which is understandable, acceptable, but nevertheless it makes you think about it for a while afterwards, you know. And so I try not to hold any grudges against anybody. But I guess the point is, when you're retired or if you're self-employed, then you don't have to worry about a boss who is occasionally maybe not happy with you for one reason or another, you know. All right, I'm going to change the subject now to extraterrestrials. I've got to watch this video. There's a new video on Astro Legends TV. If you want to get an understanding or imagine how some extraterrestrials out there look, then go no further than Astro Legends TV on YouTube. There are some videos that they have that will show you all, not all of them that are out there, but quite a few extraterrestrials and what they look like. You know, most of them are humanoid. They talk about reptilians. They talk about the Greys. They talk about the Andromedans, the Arcturians, the extraterrestrials from the Pleiades. And we've been visited here on Earth by... apparently, if you watched the video I recommended on one of my previous shows called Unacknowledged. If you haven't seen that, please watch it. It will convince you that there's been a government cover-up, especially Roswell. But these people are very interested. These extraterrestrials are observing us. And they're concerned about our future, suffice it to say, which is understandable, right? We have many nuclear weapons, but surprisingly, the danger, from what I have understood, read, and researched, is not with nuclear weapons, but in the search for money and power and authority. Because money, it really is the root of all evil, so they say. And when people are influenced and motivated to make money, like our politicians, for example, we're going to take a drink. Please don't misunderstand me. I think our politicians are great. And they have a lot of good things that I can say about them, which is what other people ought to do more often, too. Say good things about each other, which they don't do, really, because they're competing, you know. But how can you truly govern a country and look after the welfare of the people when you're competing with each other, competing for money, competing for power and authority? That is not the proper way to govern a country of people and looking out for their well-being. We, the people, as it says in the Constitution, should be their priority, but they're not. Now, I understand what they're going through. They might have all these aspirations, and they get to Washington, and they're in the Congress there, and they realize if they don't conform, then they'll be ostracized. So I understand it's a very difficult environment. But the ideal way to go is to elect people who are truly concerned for the welfare of the people, who truly are motivated for doing the right thing, who are not motivated by money or power. Have several of these people with one person in charge. And when you get away from the monetary system, then you'll find out that we can share things together. And I know it's hard to imagine, isn't it, living in a world without money? But it's possible. And that's always been the source of all the fighting and the killing in the past. Those that have money and those that don't. Anybody disagree with that? I'm going to take a drink. All the wars we've had in the past, throughout the centuries, those who had it and those who didn't, those that had wanted more. They built empires, the Roman Empire, the Ottoman Empire, other empires that I know existed, who would conquer people and land, take over the land and the resources so that they can make more money. How do we get away from that? Well, set our sights on what's out there in the universe, my friends. There are civilizations out there that are trying to help us, guiding us in the right direction, because as a civilization, we've taken a wrong turn. We really have. And some say that we've even lost a century because we've had the internal combustion engine at the beginning of the 20th century that took a hold in fossil fuels when we really didn't need to. Nikola Tesla had invented some equipment that could extract energy from the atmosphere. And of course, he was in direct competition with the oil people. And guess who won? He lost. And so now we've lost where we could have had free energy and been developing our souls, focusing on the well-being of the world, people of the world, rather than competing with each other for money. And anyone who disagreed, sometimes were killed, assassinated. The governments of the world are still hiding the fact that they know that there's life out there, saying that we can't handle the truth, telling us that we can't handle the truth, when it could make the world a better place if they shared everything they knew. But what president is willing to do that? Because there's that fear of being assassinated. Some say that JFK was assassinated because, well, it wasn't the only reason, but besides possibly getting us into a nuclear war with Russia, but also he wanted to know about the extraterrestrials. Did you know that President Nixon was a good friend of Jackie Gleason? You know Jackie Gleason, right? I'm going to take a drink. Stories told of one day when They went out together. President Nixon didn't have his Secret Service detail. No one with him, just him and Jackie Gleason. They went to some Air Force base in Florida. I forget the name of it. And he wanted to show Jackie something. So they went to this one place. And there, kind of like in a huge container of formaldehyde or whatever that liquid is that preserves bodies, was this extraterrestrial being, a small childlike with spindly arms and legs, with a big head and dark eyes, just floating in that water, preserved in that liquid. They say that afterwards, Jackie Gleason, after he saw that, he couldn't eat for 3 days. He was so stunned by what he saw. That's how the story goes. You think that was made up? Fantasy? And that's another thing, too, my friends. We're so concerned with fantasy, all these new movies that come up. We got to take a drink. Fantasy violence. And all these actors are making millions of dollars. That's okay. I know they got to work to make money. It seems like they could do better movies, though. Real life stories. People saving people's lives, helping them in other ways. Real life. Give me real life, people. That's what I say. My friends, give me real life stories, not this fantasy violence. And then when you have like an active shooter or people being killed or run over by a car running into a crowd, and we go, oh my God. But if it happens in a movie, it's okay. Some of these people, they emulate these action heroes. They say, you know, Sylvester Stallone or Arnold Schwarzenegger. Nothing against them, but I'm just saying that they see these action heroes killing people. Then they go and want to do what they did because they want their day in the sun, get their name on the front page of a newspaper, maybe go to court and be known as Jack the Ripper and go down in history with some notorious name and infamy, you know, when all they're doing is looking for recognition, and the media just jumps on that. They sensationalize it. They give them another reason to want to do it, because then they're on television and, you know, they're famous all of a sudden. These people who need recognition, who are depressed and have anxiety and have mental issues. But back to what I was saying about fantasy, fantasy violence. Why are we so consumed with fantasy instead of reality? Our society, I told you, we've taken a wrong turn. Now we need to get back on track. You have to know, without a doubt. I mean, use your faith, please. You have to believe that these extraterrestrials are out there. Because, as I mentioned, if all this life happened by Earth by accident, or if we were created by accident, you know, because you can trace our family trees back thousands of years. That's reality, right? You knew that. That's a logical, intelligent thing to assume, that our family trees go back thousands of years to the beginning, right? I mean, I can trace my family tree back to 1610 in the London area. But all of our family trees go back to the very beginning. And these ETs, they want us to join them. And what I was saying was that all this life on Earth, if it happened by accident, logically, it could happen by accident anywhere in the universe. And you know there's other planets out there. Anybody who doesn't believe there are other planets and other solar systems, well, they just don't know right now, but they will later. But if there really is a creator of the universe, an electrical kind of energy field with a kind of like a head inside, if you will, with an intelligence that's omnipotent and omniscient, a magical being out there that's responsible for the creation of everything, the physical universe, the suns and the planets. Maybe not directly, but indirectly, by part of the plan is to have co-creator gods like us. Because we are a co-creator god in the making. We have brains and we have hearts and we have lungs and blood in our bodies. And we can, well, let me put it this way. We are alive. We are alive, my friends. You and I, we are alive. 40,000 people a day die around the world. About that many babies are born, too. And on the subject of abortion, did you know that more babies have been killed through abortion? And they've had abortion for many years now, going back centuries, believe it or not. More babies have been killed than all the people that have died in wars throughout the centuries. Isn't that incredible? Now, I understand that women have been mistreated, that they've been a minority, and they're looking for their rights. But isn't it time that we put more value on the lives of babies than the rights of women? Now, it's understandable sometimes it's a very difficult decision for a woman to have an abortion. I don't know what it's like myself to have a baby grow inside me. It's a tremendous responsibility, and women, even today, are treated worse than animals around the world. But the value of life has to increase for us to evolve as a civilization. The ETs are out there waiting for us to join them. And they're not making contact with us now because they know that we still have to learn a few things. We still have to have faith that they exist. We don't need to have ET land in our backyard to prove to us that ET exists. You should know in your mind, through your logic, that they are out there, right? You don't need a piece of metal from a spaceship. You don't need to look them in the eyes to see that they exist. They are out there. And the universe is teeming with life. Life is the norm, it's not the exception. We are stuck in a gap. We don't know that there's life out there. We can't prove it. And people need proof. But wasn't that the way people thought back in Columbus's day, that the world was flat? People really thought the world was flat. Can you believe that? Or in Copernicus's day, they thought that planet Earth was at the center of the universe and everything revolved around it. Can you believe that? Now we're stuck in this gap. We don't know that we're not alone in the universe, that there are millions of other civilizations out there that are looking. Some know about us, and they're thinking, now these human beings, I hope they don't destroy themselves. They're kind of like in kindergarten still. They need to evolve, reach the first grade, second grade, you know, get into college, join the group, you know, respect each other, love each other, not kill each other. You know, there's no good reason to kill anybody. Accidents will happen. That's true. Driving a car on the freeway, people don't do that on purpose. But war can be avoided. Killing your fellow human being, a brother and sister in spirit, there is no good reason, period. I'm going to take a drink. But that cycle of revenge continues on and on and on and on and on. Revenge. We have to have forgiveness. We have to learn forgiveness. Remember in the movie The Revenant? I can't tell you this any better. And this is something we can all remember. And please don't forget it. Revenge is in the hands of the Creator. Remember what that Indian told Leonardo DiCaprio's character? He said his family had been killed. Leonardo DiCaprio's son had been killed by that guy in the movie. Revenge is in the hands of the Creator. you will be held accountable for everything. We will be held accountable for everything we do in this lifetime. There will be a judgment day. As sure as you will die and I will die, there will be a judgment day. So you know that there will be, right? I take a drink. And you will be held accountable for every action that you did, how you treated people. Were you friendly? Were you kind? Were you nice? Were you loving? Were you forgiving? Were you interested in your neighbor and what was going on in their lives? Did you say hello to somebody while walking down the street? Did you wave at somebody? Did you open the door for someone? Did you give someone a hug? Just a little small random act of kindness, small random gesture of kindness can go a long way in making the world a better place. Let's get away from all this name calling, bitter competition. Now, games I can understand. It might not be the perfect way to grow and develop, but children do it in school. You know, it seems like a good way to bring out the best in people by competing. I'm talking about sports, you know, like the Olympics or maybe the Super Bowl or the World Series, the finals in the NBA or the NHL. But with politics, we need to have, and the Constitution says it, I can't repeat myself enough. We the people have priority. That's what our founding fathers wanted, for us to be looked after by our politicians, and not for them to be motivated by money and power. Someone with our best interest in mind. And it's not too late for them to change, to reach across the aisle. And my friends, I said it before and I'll say it again. I just mentioned it. Abortion is the main thing that separates the Republicans from the Democrats, regardless of the other issues that they face. Abortion is the primary difference. If we can all get on the same sheet of music, you heard what I said. So figure out for yourself what my right way is. I'm running out of time here. I sympathize with women. I know it's a very difficult decision for them, but the value of life has to increase for us to evolve as a civilization. And that's one way of doing it. There are other ways too. And know also that that spirit in that baby, whether it's aborted or miscarried, that enters that body, dropped in there usually by an angel, will return to the spirit realms, to heaven, and continue growing there. Naturally, a baby is very disappointed, or a spirit is disappointed if it is miscarried or aborted. And you will see, like in the movie, Heaven is for Real, the young boy who was 3 years old who had a near-death experience met his sister who was miscarried in heaven. And she went up to him and hugged him. 1 minute. I've got 1 minute, my friends. And she said that she died in her mother's tummy. Well, you get my point? You know what I'm saying? We're dealing with not only the body, but the spirit and the soul as well. Okay? Well, it was a good time, and it flew for me. I love you, and may the creator of the universe bless us all and help us to survive as a civilization and evolve so we can take our place in the intergalactic community. Goodbye, everybody. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.